This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Kelvin Wong, Oanda's senior market analyst in Singapore. Good morning from London, Kelvin. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny, and good afternoon over at my end.
Now, markets have been reacting to those very dramatic events on Saturday, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. It looks, according to the markets, as if they're thinking it's more likely now that there's going to be a Trump presidency again following what happened. And this has had an effect on commodities, currencies, and markets.
Yes, precisely, Johnny. So if you look at the situation right now, based on the betting markets over here, so prior to that unfortunate event, markets are looking about a 58% chance of Trump returning to the White House. And after that assassination attempt, it causes the betting markets to raise its odds from close to about 65% to 66% chance of Trump returning. So with that, market participants, at least in the very short term right now, is revisiting the playbook of Trumponomics. So for those who recall, what is Trumponomics? So at that point in time, this is the key economic agenda crafted up by Donald Trump administration then when he was the president of the United States in 2016 to 2020. So at that point in time, he's looking at very, very generous tax cuts, which eventually will actually start to see a widening of the US budget deficits, which has already been in a rather high in terms of historical norms in the last few years. So that could actually widen the deficits further, which potentially could imply higher longer-term US Treasury yields, which could start to see a kind of a resurgence of that US dollar strength coming back into the picture. And do not forget, Trump's actually looking to actually fund this generous tax cuts is via trade tariffs. So we are also looking at the possibility of a potential US-China trade war 2.0 coming back to the picture. So net-net, what you could see today's market intraday performance is a very weak, lackluster Asia stock market, where we start to see the Hang Seng index, taking that as a higher beta play for the Chinese stock market, is actually down negative 1.5%. And also, do not forget, despite the fact that today in China, we also have a rather lackluster key China economic data. So today, China's data came out is three data on the highlight over here is the retail sales, which came in at 2% year-on-year for June. That's way below what was recorded in the previous month of May at 3.7%. So that's close to a whopping 1.5% plus of decline. And also the GDP data for Q2 year-on-year, it came in at 4.7%, way below market expectation of 5.1% and below 5.3% for Q1. And that's also came in below that annualized target of 5%, around 5% set up by the Chinese top policy makers. So what we could see over here is that at the moment in time, even before the unfortunate event on Saturday, prior to that, China has already, economy is still in a weaker shape of things, especially their domestic economy that is still not pulling up through, despite that industrialization policy that is being set up by the China top policymakers to focus more on growth coming up from the quality sector of the economy, like semiconductors, green infrastructure, clean energy, and EV. But that has a positive spillover effect to the consumers. So with that, something to look out for, that will China top policymakers embark in something more aggressive to jumpstart this domestic spending in China that is lacking of it right now? And now talking about that Trumponomics play over here, what we could see right now, interestingly, is because of that Trumponomics is linked to make America great again, we start to see the US stock market, the futures market that is opening right now, where the E-mini futures on the S&P and the E-mini futures on the Nasdaq 100 are both gaining around 0.4% to 0.5%.
Yeah, very interesting to see market reaction to what happened over the weekend, Kelvin. Let's look to the days ahead. And on this side of the Atlantic, some very important UK CPI numbers coming up midweek, which will have a major bearing, if they go as we think they're going to go, in terms of an interest rate cut in August, which would be the first for, 4 years?
Yes, precisely. So if we were to look at the current situation right now in terms of the market expectation on the UK inflation rate, looking at the core rate over here, so core rate in May has already tumbled to 3.5% in the previous month. So that is exactly the fourth consecutive month of deceleration and the lowest since October 2021. And market right now is actually looking for a slight further dip by one basis point to 3.4% year on year. So that being said, this is more or less has really been priced into the markets. So we are talking about clear deceleration trend of inflationary trend in UK. And if this deceleration trend stands to actually weaken much further, I mean, way below market expecting of 3.4%, let's say they come in at around 3%, that could actually increase the odds of the Bank of England interest rate cut to be coming in the month of August. So if that starts to happen, we could start to see at least some form of profit taking in the sterling dollar that has risen quite a fair bit in this month of July. So in fact, if you look at the past 1 month rolling performance chart of the dollar against the other major currency. So in fact, the dollar is actually one of the worst performing currency against the sterling at this rolling 1 month performance right now. So there could be a risk of a bit of profit taking on a sterling boost, given the fact that if that deceleration trend in the UK starts to fall much further beyond expectation, which is at 3.4% right now year on year for the core rate.
Meanwhile, Kelvin, there's an important meeting in China.
Yes, precisely. So this was a much delayed meeting. They called the China Third Plenum, as in PLENUM. So this only happened typically once in 5 years, where top policymakers will gather to actually approve the key economic policy or agenda of China in the next 5 years. And they rubber stamp it and make it public at the end of this meeting. So this meeting will run from today, July the 15th. So it's a closed door meeting, all the way up to this Thursday, 18th of July. So in between over here, there could be some potential local press report that more or less what are the key economic policies that has been finalized, or potentially that could be finalized up from this meeting. So given the fact that why this meeting is important is, number one, is that right on today's China data release on the Q2 GDP numbers and the retail sales all came in below expectation, and the number is all pointing to a very weak domestic consumption pattern that we discussed earlier. So investors or market participants will be watching, is there any potential, put it away, that more forceful or pronounced stimulus measure to actually address this ongoing lackluster internal consumer demand situation in China, given the fact that after close to about 1 year of piecemeal stimulus measure has failed to actually jumpstart the internal demand side of the equation. So something to keep a close eye watch for, because market participants at this point in time do have a low expectation of any form of any forceful stimulus measures that may come out from the China top policymakers. Why? Because the top leadership has already give a kind of a public guidance in the last few weeks or months that their emphasis is more on high-tech industrialization rather than jump-starting consumer spending via fiscal policy through tax rebate or consumer-led vouchers, or even investment in the property market to actually cause that wealth effect to ratchet up on the upside again, given that at this moment in time, the property market is still one of the core engine that actually led to this lackluster internal domestic consumer demand in China, given the fact that the property has formed a key component of China's consumers' portfolio. So it do have a significant wealth effect, given that the housing prices has been in the doldrum for the last 1.5 years.
Finally, Kelvin, we're going to be hearing from the ECB on Thursday.
So on this coming Thursday, we do have the ECB policy meeting, but given that the ECB has already cut rates in the previous meeting, and based on the current guidance for ECB is they will rather wait and see the impact of its first rate cut before deciding to ignite a much more forceful interest rate cut cycle. So based on this latest guidance out from ECB, so for this coming Thursday, ECB meeting. So very unlikely the ECB will do another cut itself. So keeping that official rate at the 4.25%. So what market is actually looking out for is during the press conference of ECB President Lagarde press conference. Is there any hints that ECB may do another rate cut again in September? So that is actually should come in line with the first interest rate cut by the Fed as well, based on the latest CME FedWatch 2 that is showing high odds of the first rate cut by the Fed in September. So more or less, I think that has already been priced into the market right now, unless during the press conference, ECB President Lagarde sounds much more dovish than what market is expecting. Then what we could see over here is that we may start to see a bit of this euro strength pullback to actually take shape, at least on an intraday basis, given the fact that the euro dollar has also strengthened against the dollar pretty significantly in the past 1.5 weeks.
Okay, Kelvin, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again next week.
Sure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.